This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Three stars of the local Accessible for All food movement will speak tonight in Milwaukee as part of Growing Power's Urban and Small Farms Conference. Growing Power's founder, Will Allen, will take the stage with Ron Finley, who leads an urban garden and education movement in Los Angeles.
Chef, author, and food activist Alice Waters completes the trio. Waters is founder of the world-famous restaurant Chez Panisse in Berkeley, California. The restaurant was a key ingredient in ushering in the local food movement. Waters also created a program called Edible Schoolyard, starting with a middle school in Berkeley.
Lake Effect's Susan Benz chatted with Waters by phone before she flew into town, and Waters says it was important to her to be part of this Milwaukee event.
I'm very interested in going to places where I know someone and admire someone's work, and if I feel like I can help in those circumstances, then I'm very eager to go.
In this case, we're talking about Growing Power's Will Allen.
Yes.
When did the two of you meet?
Well, we've met over the years, but
before Michelle Obama's garden?
Probably before Michelle Obama's garden. I certainly have known about him forever. So we really met when he came to visit most recently in the last year and spoke at the edible education course at the University of California. And then he came to visit the Edible Schoolyard Project, and we had the day together.
So the three of you forces will be together for this talk on Friday evening. It's given the title Three Perspectives on Food. So how your perspective on food, I mean, how do you distill that into a relatively short period of time?
Well, I think I'm going to really talk about the idea of school lunch becoming an academic subject. I'm very, very interested in giving school lunch time and dignity, and I'm interested in it becoming a place where we can teach about the cultures of the world through food. And so I am fortunately with two extraordinary farmers and activists, and I think the ideas of feeding an urban population real food, to be able to support the people who are taking care of the land by this project, would be incredible. If school lunch could be free for every student, and that it could be considered part of their academic studies. So that you might be studying the culture of Mexico and you're eating the food that is nutritious and delicious and from that place.
So the testing ground for this idea started at a middle school in Berkeley, is that right?
That is true.
Through which Edible Schoolyard was born, started
exactly.
Growing. Yeah. Part of that philosophy of sitting down at table.
Exactly. That it's not just what we're eating. It's how we're eating. And if we eat food that's good for us and we're eating it in the car, it is teaching us a set of values that are really changing our world. We're thinking it's okay to eat quickly and while we're driving. It's so important that we take time and that we sit down because it's sort of it is the primary right of civilization. It's where we pass on our knowledge from one generation to the other. It's a place where we converse about what's happening in the world. It's where we learn to pass peas and all of the values that are really part of civilization. And if 85% of the kids in this country don't have one meal with their family, what's happening? What's happening to those rituals, those valuable moments of the day when we communicate with each other? So I'm hoping that we can find that place in the academic curriculum of public education, where we can sit together at tables and we can learn about the Silk Road in India. We might be having a history class at the table, and we would be eating the lentil soup from India and maybe a whole wheat chapati and maybe a carrot salad with turmeric and cumin. And it's endless the way that we could weave the foods of the world that are nutritious and delicious and easy to make and available to people around the world that are seasonally appropriate and come from farms that take care of the land, that we would make that part of the criteria for the buying of food.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it sounds so ambitious in some ways. And in another way, it's so obvious and so easy to do. And I eat like this every day. I'm making myself some brown rice. I'm cooking some greens with garlic and spices, and I may be having a salad with that. And it's so nourishing and so easy to do. And we have to all learn to cook together again. And what better way than when you're young and open to these ideas and can be empowered by them.
So you're tackling the agricultural machine that is a different world, it sounds like to me, than what you're describing. You're a solid advocate of universal access to healthy organic foods. And something else that is a thread that what I believe will run through the conference that you're coming to is the idea of racism in the food system. And how do you dismantle that? Do you think about that issue?
Well, I've always been a Montessori teacher, always thinking of a way to bring people into a positive relationship to food and to the land. And if we have a criteria for the buying of food that includes a farm's relationship to the farm workers, that if everyone is invited to the table for free, that there is a sense of equality at the table from kindergarten, where children are really learning to value people and cultures that are different from theirs, that they'll grow up differently with a different set of values. They really will treasure, I think, like I do, food that is different and connected to a culture that brings a kind of taste and a different set of practices to the kitchen. And I just love that sort of global diversity. And it's so beautiful, it's so tasty, and it's what makes my life rich, is to experience those differences that people have and that, you know, what do I want to say?
No, you're saying it. You're absolutely saying it. So one thought that comes to mind, you're probably the mother of farm to table. Will you accept that title?
Well, I was there very early on, but I think farm to table is really the way people ate before the fast food culture took hold, that we did eat from our backyard garden, that we did eat locally, that we did eat with family and friends, that we participated in the harvest, that we grew food organically. I mean, these aren't new ideas. It's just that they've been buried by the fast food culture. And I was lucky that I experienced a slow food culture in France in the early 60s. And it opened my mind and opened my palate. And I wanted to live like French. And that I was looking for taste. I wasn't looking for organic food, but that's where I ended up. I ended up at the doorsteps of the farmers and the ranchers and the people who were producing food organically and thinking about the aliveness of it and bringing it right that day. It was picked to the doorsteps of Chez Panisse. I think there's something that's very important. I thought you were going to ask me about the cost of all of this.
Yep, I was going there.
I know you're going there. And I just have to say that I thought the food would be much more expensive and that our food costs would be over the moon. But in fact, when you eliminate the middleman and you give all the money to the farmer or the rancher, the food becomes affordable. And it's the labor part that can be very expensive at Chez Panisse. But it's not the food cost. Because what you're doing is you're using every part of that vegetable. You've learned how to use the stems of the chard. You've learned how to really make use of all aspects of the farm. Right now, we're buying, actually, the weeds, the nettles, the purslane from Bob Kennard. And we're learning how to make that part of the meals at the restaurant. Well, in this way, you're really economizing. And the food that I'm talking about for schools has to be easy to make. Maybe it's just the slicing of a watermelon or a tomato. And maybe it can even be done at the table. And maybe we can have a volunteer workforce of older people who would like to help in the kitchen and who could have a school lunch for their work. We haven't even begun to think about how schools could support farms that are doing the right thing. It would be amazing. It's like community-supported agriculture. But this could be school-supported agriculture. And that way the farmers don't have to worry about their income. Schools are the buyers. We want those onions. We want all of your garlic. We want all of your greens. And I just know that that relationship I have with the network of farmers that contribute to Chez Panisse makes not only the meals delicious at the restaurant, but a relationship that's so rewarding. I mean, I talk to these people who have knowledge about growing food that is amazing. I feel like I'm going to the greatest university of biodiversity. And that is a kind of knowledge of nature that makes you feel secure and connected. And it's a seasonal change that makes you know, it feels like it makes my life meaningful.
So how do you think we as a culture are doing with issues around hunger in our society, for starts?
Not very well. But if every child came to school and was offered breakfast, lunch, and an afternoon snack, we'd eliminate childhood hunger overnight. Maybe we would pack lunches for them on the weekend. But it's so important that we learn about people who have a lot and could share and people who don't have as much and who are very needy. And that's part of an edible education, is the idea that we have to share our resources and that we're dependent on one another. And that is something that can happen at the table. It's something that we all need to learn when we're very young. That philanthropy, the ideas of philanthropy, are so valuable. And we need to digest them while we're eating.
So when you speak of building this curriculum, it feels and sounds like to me, you know, rebuilding a culture.
Well, I hope we can do that. I hope we can come back to our senses, that we can really be inclusive, that we can appreciate the land, because that's, we're all dependent on it for our survival. That these are basic values that we all have inside of ourselves, but again, we have to bring them out. And I don't think we're inventing anything. We are just finding those feelings, those human feelings and desires, and really empowering people to explore them and act on them.
Chef, author, and food activist Alice Waters founded the restaurant Chez Panisse and the program called Edible Schoolyard, both in Berkeley, California. She spoke with environmental reporter Susan Bentz.
Waters will talk this evening in a moderated conversation, along with Will Allen and Ron Finley. It's part of Growing Power's Urban and Small Farms Conference, and it takes place at the auditorium at Kohl's corporate headquarters in Menominee Falls.